new behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am Ben Bolin.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Well, nothing new, Ben. Nothing new.
Ooh, au contraire, my friend. I forgot how to say friend in French.
So ah, that's all right.
I messed that part up.
No problem.
But there is something new, maybe, going on in one of our favorite worlds, Scott, the world of racing.
Yeah, good point. I guess there is something new, and we're going to talk about it today, this Formula E. Right?
Whether or not it'll happen.
Yeah, whether or not it'll happen. And I think, I hate to say it, Ben. I'm kind of a downer on this one.
Okay. All right. Now, we talked about this beforehand. We can good cop, bad cop this if you want.
I think maybe that's the way to handle it.
Okay. All right. So you're bad cop. I'll be the good cop. And I'll start out a little effusive, okay?
I hate that I'm so biased against this thing. But you know what? I really am. It's supposed to mimic Formula One, right?
Yes. It's supposed to mimic Formula One. Guess what the E in Formula E stands for?
Oh, unfortunately, I already know. It stands for electricity.
It does. It is obviously standing for electricity, but according to their website, that E also stands for, are you ready? Exciting, efficiency, environment, and last but not least, a new era.
Oh, brother.
Because they couldn't just say era,
yeah.
Formula era.
Yeah, okay.
So here's the idea. We take electric vehicles and we make a nonstop thrill ride, just like conventional racing, but I imagine quieter.
A lot quieter.
A lot
okay,
quieter.
So that's your idea of what the series may be then, right? That's their idea
that's,
of what the series may be.
That's their idea, and when we say they, we're referring to a group called Formula E Holdings.
Yeah, FEH, if you want to search Formula E Holdings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not... Well, they're relatively new, I guess. Formula E Holdings is. Now,
mm-hmm.
it's a French company, a French design that actually came up with this. Formulec, I think is the name. A guy named Frederick Vasseur, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his
yes.
company, which is Formulec. I think I'm saying that right. Formulec. It's the vehicles are built and designed by them. I think there's actually through another company called Spark.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Spark,
yeah.
Spark Racing Technology, or SRT. They're like the official supplier of these Formula E championship cars.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Ben, let's just cut right to it here. This is supposed to mimic Formula One racing in an electric form.
Yes.
And it's supposed to have all the excitement and thrill of Formula One racing, but, it's supposed to be good for the environment, right?
Right. And I'm glad you made that point because, Formula E Holdings, or FEH, as I guess we should just refer to them, they feel that automotive emissions are contributing to global climate change. So they want this zero emissions race to, drive home this idea that electric cars can be reliable, safe, and fast. In other words,
oh, brother.
An alternative. I know.
I didn't even let you finish. This
I
is
know.
A, sorry about that. I didn't mean to walk over you, but, oh my gosh, come on. Now, listen, I have to say, and I'm totally biased against this, okay?
Sure.
I'm not a fan of this at all. I don't think this is a good idea. I think this is a bad idea.
Okay.
Have you seen the video of these things in operation and in
yeah.
action?
Yeah.
All right. So if you go to search Formula E on the web, anywhere you want,
mm-hmm.
and you'll come to Formula E Holdings, and they've got their little gallery page and their videos and all that.
Right.
They have an example video of what these things look like racing. And I'll tell you. Can I?
Yeah.
You said it's exciting. It's thrilling. It's edge of the seat.
That's
it's all
what
that,
they
right?
want.
That's what they want to tell you. Now I can tell you what I think the experience will be like personally. And this is I'm not holding back. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I think here's what you should do: record an F1 race, like an F1 race on television right now.
Okay.
So go on Sunday morning or whenever it happens to happen, record it, and watch it later. Play it back at half speed. With no audio at all, right? No audio. So turn the volume all the way down.
Right.
Half speed. Turn your vacuum cleaner on for the noise, right? For the whining sound that these things make. And then, I mean, that's probably maybe the closest you'll be able to get to what this thing appears to me to be, like what it will look like on race day.
That is, A, hilarious, and B, I see your bias, but you're making some valid points.
Yeah.
As we know, electric cars are not as fast.
No. They're, and we've got the specs on these things, the stats on these cars. Now, the top speed is, and I'm being really harsh on these things, and I don't.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, now, let me tell you something. If they just wanted to say, like, this is going to be like a parking lot series, and we're going to run this, you know, as kind of an interest, you know, that, like, see if we can do this, if we can build these cars mm-hmm. that look like Formula One cars. The cars look cool.
Yeah.
They're open wheel racers. They look like a lot like a real Formula One car, similar. But they just don't have the maximum speed. They just don't have the thrill. And to me, racing is such a visceral sport, something that, you know, you need to feel and see and hear. And mm-hmm. it's just, there's so much involved in true Formula One racing. You know, there's the V12 engine sound. There's just this incredible whine or howl, I guess is a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Howl as these things approach, and you can hear them coming from a long way away. With these, you know, it seems like you don't even know they're approaching. Mm-hmm. It's really, really weird to see something like this happening. And now it's not a new idea. I'll get to the stats in just a moment.
Sure.
You know, yeah. electric racing isn't new, right?
Right. Yeah. Good point. 'Cause the National Electric Drag Racing Association, has what, 1997 they first came out? And, then there are electric motorcycle races as well on the Isle of Man. And we covered the Isle of Man, TT before. So.
What's that? I was asleep. I'm sorry.
Oh, 'cause I was talking about electric vehicles.
Electric drag racing.
Oh.
So I know.
I'm loving this, man. This is the second most irritated I've ever seen you in years.
Really? Are you talking? I bet you that I know the first.
What was the first one?
Flying cars. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. I just, now I know that, you know, it works for the National Electric Drag Racing Association and, you know, I'll tell you the Isle of Man test of the electric motorcycles. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a different kind of race though.
It is. I mean, it still was fast and exciting and it seemed pretty cool in that situation.
Yeah.
I did miss the sound, obviously.
Right.
And that's a big part of what's missing in Formula E racing versus true Formula One racing. I just think there's so much to that. I think that the fans are going to really, really, really miss the sound of a race car. And, you know, we mentioned the stats. I think we should talk about them.
Yes.
Now these things run on lithium ion batteries mm-hmm. and there's nothing else. There's no other
no hybrid engine,
nope,
anything like that.
Nothing like that. There's no internal combustion engine at all. So there's no exhaust sound. These are really, really quiet. The only thing you're going to hear are the wheels and the whine of the engine, or the motor rather, the electric motor. They do have a top speed of 124 miles an hour. So 124 is the maximum speed on these things. That's about half of what a Formula One car would do.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark.
Right.
0 to 100 miles per hour. It's pretty quick. About 3 seconds. So that's quick, but that's the whole advantage of having an electric motor, you know, the torque instantly available thing. You know, it's mm-hmm. all available immediately. So that's great. 241 equivalent horsepower, we'll call it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, the cars weigh about 1700 pounds, a little bit more. Now, one thing that, you know, so these run on battery power, right?
Yes.
One thing that's going to be different here is that there are going to be no pit stops at all in these races because, they're going to have to run in 25 minute bursts of energy, right?
Right, because there's a 90-minute charging time.
Oh, this kills me. A 90-minute charging time for 25 minutes of racing. So any race that you watch, mm-hmm. which we'll tell you about later, any race that you choose to go to or attend or watch on television or however they broadcast this, 25 minutes long is going to be the maximum before they run out of juice,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the max.
With current technology.
Okay, with current technology, sure, because there are other teams. Now, there are teams that are jumping on board with this, right?
Yeah. And FEH has already purchased 42 SRT cars.
Yeah, that's a lot of cars.
That's so many cars. And they're planning to roll this out in 2014, so next year.
And they're giving the teams the option, mm-hmm. you know, the teams that jump on. Now, there are teams like McLaren who are already in. They said that we'd like to try this. So let us in on this and on the ground floor. And there's a company called Drayson, Drayson Racing, and Lola, I think, is one that's interested as well. They're a, you know, car builder, chassis builder.
Yeah.
They're interested. And I think those guys are working on their own car, but, FEH, they ordered these 42 cars. Now that means that there's going to be 10 teams in the inaugural season, mm-hmm. or they're hoping to get 10 teams in interested. And they're going to have four cars each for the team.
Right. Two are going to be for crash test and one's going to be for testing.
No, that's, I'm sorry. I think you got it mixed up.
Did I get it mixed up?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was four cars for each of the 10 teams.
It's four cars for each of the 10 teams, but then the additional two cars.
See, that's the 42.
The series itself has to do one crash test for FIA rule stand, the sanctioning body, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And then the other car, the remaining car, is going to be the promotional car.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
If each team had to crash two cars, that would be quite a bit. And you know what? They may end up crashing them on their own, but...
Yeah, but they're not supposed to.
Not supposed to. That would be a bad accident.
One neat point about McLaren that gives this a lot of street cred mm-hmm. in the racing community is that McLaren is also part of that group with Spark Racing Technology that helped design the vehicles.
Ah, okay. So they've got a little bit of a vested interest.
They've got skin in the game, for sure.
I see. Okay.
So they're not just... Their interest in this is on multiple levels.
Now, Ben, I know I've been really down on this already to this point.
I think it's hilarious.
But, there's so much to going to a race like this and seeing and hearing and feeling these cars passing you, then you're just not going to get that out of this series. But you know, when you hear manufacturers like McLaren or Drayson even or Lola, you know, who are longtime contributors to fantastic racing series. I mean, IndyCar, Formula One, all those series.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of believe that, you know, they see something in it. I don't know if it's just that they want to give it a shot, but, you know, they're really investing something in this, right?
Right. And, you know, not for nothing either, because there is some potential for this. We've seen and heard the criticism that FEH is getting into racing for the wrong reasons. Now, that kind of criticism comes from the idea that it's a fairly indirect way to educate people on your beliefs about climate change through racing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I get it. It's exciting. It's compelling. And I like the idea of electric racing very much. I'm not going to speak too much to whether or not the motivation is there, but I will say that with their with this motivation, they've really put their thoughts and their concepts into action. I mean, these are big names that are joining up. The series plans to be global. It's got eight cities that are supposedly are planning to be hosting the races.
Yeah, I think a total of 10. They've got eight secured now, and I want to tell people about that before the end of the podcast.
Yes,
sure.
And I have a point as well. I have a little extra story for you.
Sounds good. You know, one thing that we need to mention right now, I think, is that these cars, or a car, I should say,
right.
I don't know how many they've already produced at Spark, you know, SRT, but a car has already been tested at the Goodwood Festival of Speed in the UK, and apparently it set some kind of electric car record. So, you know, it's a technology that's it's really working, and for what it is, it's a great car. I mean, it's a good car. I'll give it that. I mean, I'll say that it's a really cool looking car. It's quick.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not as fast as a Formula One car, but then again, it doesn't have a Formula One engine. It's not pretending to be a Formula One car. It's saying this is the electric version of this. We're not going to compete against, you know, the cars
that do have the
ICE engines or ICEs. Anyways, I just think that, you know, for what it is, I guess it's a decent vehicle and it looks really cool. It'd be fun to drive one, no doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't turn that down for, you know, mm-hmm. for anything. But, there's something missing in this whole series. And I've told you what I think it is. It's the sound and the feel and the smells mm-hmm. and everything about you know, just the traditional Formula One cars. I'm gonna miss it if, you know, this is the way this goes.
Well, it's time for me, I guess, to play a little bit of good cop here. First, Formula E is not going to be a challenge to Formula One.
No, I don't think so.
For quite a long time, unless something just unforeseen happens. Secondly, I'm pulling for these guys as the official good cop of this podcast, but or this episode rather. But I got to be honest with you, man. Starting a racing organization is a very difficult thing to do. You've heard that statistic, right? In the United States, 95% of all small businesses fail within 10 years or something.
I think the hardest part for this series is going to be season two.
Yeah, exactly.
I think season one, everybody's going to be pretty interested and, you know, see what they can do. Season two, if they don't perform,
right,
you know, that's the difficult one if they invite you back.
And let me just go ahead to illuminate our point here a little bit more. Do you remember Super League Formula?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they have they started pretty recently, right? They started a while back, but they had that kind of racing. It was open wheel, single seater, right?
Mm-hmm.
2008 it started. It's a UK thing, and it was called The Beautiful Race. But
The Beautiful Race?
Football at 300 kilometers an hour.
Okay.
But it's now in doubt whether or not it's going to continue. Just because, I mean, if you think about the enormous capital required to launch a race, a racing organization or racing group with ICE cars, you know, internal combustion engine cars, so no unproven technology,
sure,
right? I think that opens it up. Another one that died. You remember the A1 Grand Prix?
No.
So that was open wheel again. These are both open wheel.
Okay.
And it was liquidated in 2009, and it was started initially in 2003.
Okay, so that one didn't last too long, maybe
right,
6 years. Man, it's tough. I mean, when, you know, if you don't build that fan base, if you don't get a group of people to say, this is my favorite series and I'm going to follow this and I'm going to get more friends to come along with me next time to this race, that's what they really need.
It's all about the fans.
Exactly. And then, you know, of course, sponsorship goes along with that and sponsorship dollars, and that's what keeps everything rolling. So hopefully, I mean, hopefully, I'm actually saying that hopefully they'll, you know, maybe make it into their second season and see how things go.
I think it's good for motorsports to have a race similar to this. I would disagree with you, though, a little bit when you say they're not trying to be Formula One cars. I mean, just the name Formula E and the design DNA, like, clearly that's kind of an association they're hoping to build.
Yeah, I know. And I think that, you know, if somebody's expecting one thing and then when, you know, they see this, they may see and hear this or don't hear it, there may be some disappointed fans.
That might be the heart, the heart of your reaction right there too. Cause what if it wasn't called Formula E, you know, and it was just the open seat E series or something.
I don't know. I mean, when I look at this car, I expect a certain thing to happen. I expect to hear that engine. I expect to see how fast this thing is, how dramatic and awesome this thing is, you know, on the track. And I just don't see it in this car. And that's my own thing.
And while you're doing that, Scott, I want to hear some more of what you think about the future of Formula E.
Well,
where do you want to go next?
Well, I
this?
Think we should probably. I mean, I've probably extinguished all of my material on this, other than the races. You know, there's this inaugural season that's coming up. It's
yep.
coming up quick. I mean, it's the 2014 is the beginning, and they've got 10 races that they're planning. They've got 8 that are already announced, and we've got a list of the 8 if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We've got Los Angeles and Miami. Those are the only ones in the United States.
Yeah.
Buenos Aires, Rio de Janeiro, London, Rome, Beijing, and then our dark horse candidate. I was surprised by this one. Putrajaya. I apologize. Putrajaya. It is in Malaysia.
Well, let's just say it's in Malaysia.
I'm mispronouncing it. I apologize.
The Malaysian E-Prix. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably the best way to say it. Now there's going to be 2 more announced, and, you know, they're trying to build, so they're going to be 10 teams, 10 races. And so far, I don't know how many teams they have, but they do have these 8 locations already secured. So, you know, you're bound to see them in those countries, or those cities, rather, in some cases.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Ben. I in a way, I hope that they do okay. But it's just it's not my thing. I mean, I know that somebody's gonna see this and they're gonna absolutely love it. They're gonna think this is the greatest thing ever.
Sure.
And you know, other people are gonna be kind of indifferent about it. But me, I don't think that I have the patience to watch something like this.
I see what you're saying, because it's kind of one of those things where, what's that old figure of speech? He who has tasted the meat of the gods shall never be again be content with the straw of fools.
You know what? That's a perfect way to put this, because you know that I'm so enamored by Formula One racing and any open wheel racing, really, that when I see this, I just, my shoulders slump down. I think, like, oh, why are they trying to force electric cars into something like this? Why are they doing this to us? Why are they making? I know it's very dramatic. It's very dramatic. Why are they making me watch this?
Oh gosh,
I know.
All right, well, let me give you some things here with the defense, because again, I understand what you're saying. It's not a personal thing, and you do wish the race the best, but the visceral reaction, which we'll get back to, is missing, and that's one of the key things. Here are some quotes from mayors of London and Miami. The mayor of London said, should I do an accent?
Why not?
Zero emission world-class racing is a...
Okay, wait. No, don't do the other.
Zero emission world-class motor racing is a scintillating concept, and I'm hugely keen that London be involved in the birth of Formula E. It has the potential to highlight the impressive strides being made in the manufacture of electric vehicles, and hosting a street race could also be of considerable economic benefit to our city.
Okay, now do the accent again.
I'm sorry for that.
No, it was funny.
That was good. Thank you for cutting me off, because you saved us all from that accent.
Sure.
All right, so that's the mayor of London, Boris Johnson. One point he made that I think may really help the odds for Formula E survival is that if this is seen as almost like a CES, you know, this becomes a showcase for electric racing innovations or electric car innovations, then they will have a lot of sponsorship. And I hope that they'll get fans, because as you said, that's what they'll need.
So this race series will become a testbed for electric car technology.
Right.
I could picture that. And you know what? That's a great application. You know, of this type of thing. I think that if Lola gets into it, and if we mentioned McLaren, if they start building their own cars, you know, because right now if the plan is to use the Formula E holding cars that are built by Spark Racing, sure, they're going to learn a lot about them, but if they start building their own cars, that's going to further advance the series. It's going to make them even better. I think that the series may get exponentially better if some of these, you know, tried and true auto racing companies start building their own vehicles. That's going to be good news for the series, in my opinion. But I guess my point overall is just that I just wish that, you know, like, if it's going to be an electric racing series, that's fine. Don't try to cram electric racing, you know, or hybrid racing or whatever down someone's throat if they don't, you know. Ben, I don't know. I'm grabbing my head trying to figure out what I would need to say about this, because it sounds really harsh, whatever I say.
Well, but it's just what you're saying is don't have it advertised as something that it's not.
Stop trying to make everything electric. Don't make my Formula One cars electric. I don't want an electric Formula One car.
They'll take your Formula Ones out of your cold dead hands.
Racing needs racing noise, engine noise, things like that. You know, the feel, the smells, everything. That's my opinion. I know that, you know, there's going to be someone that writes in with a hateful email that tells me, you know, like, why I'm wrong. That's fine. But, you know, there may be other people that agree with me.
Right.
But, you know, I just don't think that this is the place for something like this.
Well, I don't think that electric racing is going to supplant the Formula One racing, just because there's a tradition behind Formula One that can't really be usurped, I guess would be
It's not threatened in any way by this.
Right.
It really isn't. There's enough of a fan base there that they're not going to completely switch over to this, and I don't think
maybe they'll follow both.
Oh, maybe.
But again, the speed thing, because racing, a lot of it's about speed, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, huh. What do you know?
Who knew that?
Yeah.
So in lieu of letters, I have one more thing if you'd like to hear it.
Fine. It'll give me a chance for my blood pressure to go down a little bit.
Okay, Scott, while you are working on finding a meditative place.
I'm recovering.
You're recovering. While you're in recovery, I'll go ahead and tell you something interesting, because this point about the sound is one of the things that really got to me as well. Because it is noticeable. If you go on their website, which has a lot of information for anybody who's interested in learning more about this, one of the first things you notice is the lack of that distinctive racing sound, you know. And what I was thinking about, because I kind of anticipated that you might object to this, and I agree with you. It's a very valid point.
But you didn't know how
I did not. I
how
had no idea.
That would be. Yeah.
I had no idea that would be outrage. I thought it would be mere irritation.
Understood.
But what about this? What if there was some sort of facsimile of the sound?
Oh no!
Is that even worse? What if they just broadcast?
I think that's even worse.
Motor noises. Now it's downright offensive.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
So this made me think of a story that's kind of irrelevant, but it's funny. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever hear that story about Betty Crocker's infancy when the company first started? All right, when the company first started. This is the way the story goes. And I haven't
confirmed
it.
How is this going to tie in?
Well, give me a second.
Okay.
when it first started, and they were making cake mix, right? Boxed cake mix.
Okay.
You add the cake mix together, and you just add the water, and boom. And sales were terrible because they found out that people didn't really feel like they were cooking. They were just mixing the stuff up, putting it in the oven.
Got it. It was too easy.
So they came up with this idea and said, oh, crack an egg, put it in there. It doesn't really do anything. It's not particularly necessary.
Yeah.
But it made people feel like they were cooking. It made it a little bit more real.
Just that added step.
Just the cracking an egg. Cause now it's, for some reason, that means we're officially cooking.
I'm following you.
So is there a solution like that?
Not
formula.
Now listen, not for me.
Because
I'm not a big fan of the noise boxes, I guess, for the electric cars that are on the road either.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about that.
Yeah. Explain what those are, though.
Well, it's for pedestrians, that supposedly can't hear an electric car approaching.
Right.
You know, that it makes it a safer vehicle in that, you know, they can pump in a sound that mimics a combustion engine and any exhaust note that you want. So you could make your your Prius sound like a muscle car, whatever you wanted, I guess. I think that's, extreme, but
yeah.
they had some type of engine sound that would broadcast you that you're approaching, really.
Right. And that's kind of a safety thing.
Sure.
This would be somehow, I guess, creating.
Let's call it lying.
This would be lying.
And if I were in the stands and I just made the same noise to myself as the cars pass, like, then maybe that's a little better. I don't know.
Yeah, because then you're just lying to yourself and not thousands of fans.
this is so ridiculous.
But what if, okay, all right. Here's my last shot. And if this doesn't work, I'll let you go. I just want you to think this over before you conclusively say no to Formula E.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Whistle tips.
No.
You didn't even think about it.
No.
It's that whoop.
There's nothing to blow the whistle. They're going to have to add an air pump to make these things work.
Maybe they could just mount them on the side.
Like deer whistles. Yeah, great.
Or deer whistles.
Yeah, great idea.
I can sense your sarcasm. Well, hey.
Okay, listen. Let me just finish with this.
Okay.
Although I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I personally just don't like this. I know a lot of our listeners will like this, and I don't mean to be so down on it, but I mean, it kind of works for this podcast that, you kind of like it, I don't like it. It's been fun talking about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've enjoyed researching these things and looking into them and seeing what they're all about. And, I like the design of the car. They look really cool. I just have such a concrete image of what racing should look like, sound like, smell like, and be.
Feel like.
And feel like that I'm having a hard time drawing this connection between what I see here mm-hmm. and the way that it was. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that it still is, really, in Formula One. I don't think that I'm ever going to be a Formula E fan. But again, I wouldn't turn down a ride in one. That'd be exciting. But I just don't think that I'll ever attend a Formula E event. And if I do, it's going to be with, you know, very little enthusiasm, I don't think. But I would love to go to a Formula One event. And, mm-hmm. and I know that, you know, I've been to IndyCars and other open wheel racing events that, you know, fantastic. It's just such a great experience. And that's something that you always remember is the way they sound and smell and feel. And, you know, it's just, there's so much to it. It's a very visceral thing for me.
Well, no, don't beat yourself up. Everybody is entitled to their opinion and the right to like what they do or don't like. I'm excited to see what happens in 2014. But again, regardless of our personal feelings, it is enormously difficult to start a racing group.
Yeah, and I don't.
It's tough. It's uphill the whole way.
I don't wish them, you know, any ill. I hope that they make it, but it's just not for me. That's all.
So, thanks so much for tuning into our podcast. Yeah, I had a lot of fun on this one, man, because seeing you get fired up like this, I've got a couple of notable quotes that I'm going to keep in my memory banks.
Great.
I'd also like to hear what our listeners think about electric car racing in general, Formula E in specific. We do want to hear from you. We'll post some links when this comes out just to let people get a closer look and maybe see the feel or lack of feel for Formula E racing. Drop by our Facebook to say hello. We're pretty approachable. We're not stuck up or anything. Drop us a line on Twitter at CarStuffHSW, or you can also send us an email directly
at CarStuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.